when I first heard of the people who claim an old-time religion is real. I said, I'll go down, take a look at that crowd. It's just the weak-minded I feel. So I walked up the steps and I looked in the door. The devil said, don't you go in. I said, it won't hurt me, I'll just step inside and sit back as far as I can. The preacher just then, his sermon began. He looked right straight down on me. He told everyone just how evil I was and did not think much of me. Just about then someone started to shout. He said that he knew he was saved. All plain he could see with no reason to doubt. Salvation to him the Lord gave. I said to myself that I could not stay long. That I must be home before 9. But I fell on my knees and then the fire came down. Just fine. Something got a hold of me. Something got a hold of me. My heart was not right, but oh, on that night, God surely got a hold of me. Something got a hold of me. Something got a hold of me. My heart was not right, but oh, on that night, God surely got a hold of me. My heart was not right, but oh, on that night, God surely got a hold of me.
Nothing. Amen. Amen. That's right. You don't get saved when you decide to. You get saved when God gets hold to you. And I'm glad that something got hold. Matter of fact, David said in the Psalms that the pangs of hell caught hold on my soul. That's what David said. Now, brother, that's when you're under conviction, is when the pangs of hell. I mean, you can hear the crackling of the furnace and feel the heat and smell the smoke. I mean, you just know for sure that you're dangling over hell on a spider web. I'm telling you, just about to fall in at any moment, and know that the flames of hell's lapping at your feet. And brother, when you see it that way, then you can get saved. And when you see it that way, when God convicts you like that, you'll be like Spurgeon said when he said, give me Christ or else I die. And he said, when you get there, you'll have Christ and not 1 minute before. And that's just exactly right too. Well, I'm glad something got a hold of me. Let's look in the book of Psalm, chapter 46, the 46th Psalm. The 46th Psalm. I want to read this entire Psalm in your hearing. It is a very familiar Psalm. It is one that the first verse of which that we learned in Bible school here a while back, and ever since then has been one of the verses that my girls and I repeat each night before we go to bed at night. Psalm 46 and 1 is, and they remember it. I love the way Katie says trouble. And it's just got this, you know, kids can say words that we can't repeat the way they say it. And I love the way that she says trouble. And it just tickles me for some reason just to hear them say it. But I do love this psalm. It is a very familiar psalm. It's one that's of great help to us. Let's stand while we read God's word together. Psalm 46. I want to begin reading in the first verse and read down through the end of this psalm. You pray for us this morning. I've battled a bout of the epizooty all week and been taking a bottle full of the Hattie Call and trying to get that fixed. Y'all know what the epizooty and the Hattie Call is, don't you? Well, if you do, you know better than what I do, because I don't know exactly what it is I'm taking, and I'm not real sure what I've got, just to tell you the truth. And but it's been a pest, I know that, and my voice has been weak, and so you pray for us this morning that God would help us and strengthen us while we preach. Psalm 46 and 1, the word of the Lord says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved.
God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved, and he uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read God's precious word. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me this morning, out of verse number 1 and show you some things from this entire chapter if you'll keep your Bibles open as we go through the word of the Lord this morning. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want to preach if God will help us this morning on a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. One man said that if you preach to people who are in trouble, you'll never run out of a congregation. And that's right, because everybody's got trouble in their life. This is one of the most familiar and helpful psalms in the Bible. And in the first verse has especially been a comfort to so many in facing trials. It was likely written by Hezekiah when Sennacherib was pressing on Jerusalem, and it looked like the people of God had no help and no hope and no way out. You see, Hezekiah, my friend, the Bible said Hezekiah took a threatening letter that Sennacherib had written making a mockery of God to the temple and spread it out before the Lord in prayer and asked God to do something about it. The letter told Hezekiah, said, you're serving a funny God and he's not real and he won't do nothing and you're in trouble. And you don't have any hope and you don't have any way out. And my armies are going to crush you and destroy you. And you just wait and see. And your God can't do anything about it. Well, Hezekiah took that letter down to the temple and he spread it out before the Lord. And he said, now God, here's what it says. And here's what Sennacherib saying to us. And you've got to do something, God. Oh, wouldn't that be a great lesson for us to learn that when our troubles come, instead of, my friend, of telling everybody in the world about it and hanging our head low, having to sit with our head in our hands, and have my friend running and hiding and being scared, if we'd come to the altar and find ourselves before God and to lay our situation out before him, say, here it is now, God. Here's the situation I've got. And the world says there's no hope. And the devil says you can't do anything about it. And my old flesh wants to doubt. Lord, but I believe and help thou mine unbelief. And the Lord will step in and do something about it, friend. And at that night, God to send out an angel. Hey, listen, Hezekiah went back to the house and he laid down, went to sleep. And he slept all night. The scripture said that then, my friend, that same night, God sent an angel in among the Assyrians and slew 185,000 men. Boy, that's a great slaughter, isn't it? And God became their refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. And so Hezekiah sits down and pens these words. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. This day we live in is very similar to the day of Hezekiah, in that we live in a day of great turmoil and trouble on every side. I'm going to say, friend, it is a day of political trouble. Amen. And you ain't seen political trouble until November comes around. I'm telling you, friend, hey, whatever misgivings you may have with the current state of political affairs, may I, my friend, wake you up to the reality that it ain't going to get no better, my friend, when Hillary or the Muslim gets a hold to it. Amen. I'm telling you, we're not headed for brighter times. We're headed for darker times. And the people of God better hunker down and find them a place in their
prayer closet and quit looking to Washington for help and start looking to God for help. Amen, that's right. Because the Democrats and Republicans ran out of answers a long time ago, and now they're even debating about what the questions are. I'm telling you, friend, God is our refuge and help, a very present help in a time of trouble. Well, I'm telling you, friend, hey, we're living in a day of political trouble. We're living in a day of economic uncertainty. Amen, friend. And hey, right now we talk about how bad of times we're in, but we're really living in good times and don't know about it. But there's a great deal of uncertainty about the future. And folks worry about real estate markets and about the Dow Jones Industrial Average and about their retirement funding. Yet they're not worried enough to quit charging things on them credit cards. They not maybe as worried as what they say they are. Amen, that's right. I'll tell you what you better do. You better learn to live according to God's economic plan and tithe and give offerings and be obedient to God's plan and get out of debt as fast as you can and be responsible with your money and not live on more than you make and then trust God that God will be your refuge and strength of very present help in trouble.
Because we are living in a time of economic uncertainty. We're living in a day of family difficulty. I'm saying, friend, divorce rampant on every side. And hey, a lot of divorces aren't happening now. Those folks just don't get married no more. They just sack up one another, live like a bunch of dogs. Amen, that's right. And children born, my friend, in the families, and not even sure who daddy is. And my friend, mama don't care about him. And children scattered across this land. Oh, God help us. And men, my friend, with unnatural, my friend, affections towards other men and women towards women. And they claim, my friend, that these are alternative families. And truthfully, they're an abomination in the eyes of God. Amen. I wish I had a little wind this morning, a little strength. I'd preach this if God would help me. And so you pray for me this morning. I'll tell you, friend, and against every side, Hollywood, and my friend, pop culture, and the rock and roll. Amen, that's right. And even Washington, and the local, hey, the local government, a school that's filled, my friend, hey, with secular humanism, is fighting against the nucleus of the Christian home. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. And the devil has leveled an all-out assault of lust and adultery and perversion against the homes in America. Oh, where are you going to go if you want to have a Christian home? I don't see somebody saying it. I don't see how we're going to make it. I'm going to tell you how we're going to make it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Your home can make it. Your children can live for God. Your youngins can be saved. You can be together till death do us part if you'll make God your help. If you'll make God your help. We're living a day of family difficulty. It is a day much like Hezekiah's day in that we have a day of tumult and trouble, political trouble, economic uncertainty, family difficulty. We're living in a day of upheaval in national security and sovereignty. Amen. Upheaval in national security and sovereignty. It is what Jesus said it would be. A day of wars and rumors of war. Amen. Oh, that's right. And hey, we don't know that by the time we get out of church this afternoon, and hey, turn on the radio on the way home, that the announcement may not be made that some bomb's gone off or some plane's run into another building. My friend, some quack thinking that he's going to have 70 virgins. I can't have any idea. Don't know what to do with the one wife he's got now. Lord God in heaven knows he wouldn't know what to do with 70 women. And hey, I think
thinks he's going to get 70 virgins if he'll blow himself up in the name of his God. Hey, we're living in a day of upheaval in national security. We're living in a day of upheaval in national sovereignty. I mean, friend, our borders are being, bombarded by, friend, folks here, my friend, illegally. And hey, without the proper paperwork. Somebody said, that's political. I'm not telling you which side I fall down on it necessarily. I'm just telling you it's a day of trouble. Amen. It's getting so you can't even call your local bank without having to press one for English or two for Espanol. I'm telling you, God help us. We're living in a day where there's not much national sovereignty. And it makes, my friend, many folks scared. And many folks afraid. How many folks worry? Worrying about the security of their jobs. Worrying, my friend, about the security of their family. About the security of their children. About the future of their economics. My friend, because of all the upheaval that is in our land today. Amen. And that's right, whether you'll have it or not. We're living in a day, my friend, of great religious backsliding and apostasy. Amen. A day of great religious backsliding and apostasy. I mean, it's on every side. Hey. Brother John talked about it a little bit this morning in Sunday school. It's not just that saved folks don't know how to act. It's that folks that says they're preachers and Christians don't even seem to understand how you get saved no more. I mean, get saved. Becoming a child of God is more than signing a card. It's more than getting baptized. It's more than shaking a preacher's hand and joining the church. I tell you, my friend, it's repentance, the Word of God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're living in a day of great religious backsliding and apostasy. Meaning, my friend, a difference. There's a difference in backsliding and apostasy. My friend, every apostate is backslidden, and every backslidden person not necessarily apostate. But see, the scripture did teach us that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of devils. Amen. Seducing spirits. I'm going to tell you, friend, there are some that you used to stand and preach the gospel of God. But now they become apostate and they've turned their backs on the truth and they're preaching fables and they're trying to make the gospel acceptable to a generation that cannot endure sound doctrine. You better know we're in need of help from the Lord. Oh, we're in a day of tremendous rebellion and perversion. You talk about trouble? Day of tremendous rebellion and perversion. You don't know why we, hey, you can't see the signs of rebellion. It's all over the place. People today don't hide their sin. Hey, man, they flaunt it. They sin and don't even bless. They hide it not, Jeremiah said. And that's the day we're living in. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. They'll march down the middle of our city streets. And my friend pull their life partner over and kiss them right in the mouth. And they're not even ashamed of the way that they're living. They're men of reprobate minds. They're men of hardened hearts. Well, yes, that's right. It's just according to the scripture. It's exactly how God said it would be, as it was in the days of Lot. So shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. And we've lived to see that day. Modern day Sodom and Gomorrah's in, my friend, Atlanta, Georgia, in New York City, in Paris, France, in San Francisco, California. Amen, that's right. And hey, it's even crept into churches and into, my friend, so-called Christian homes, and perversion through pornography and the internet and the television have just about wrecked. And my friend, the average Christian home. Our perception of the relationship between men and women is so skewed, so twisted, that it's hard for even Christian people to know how to have natural affection toward their own spouse. Hollywood and pop culture has so shaped our idea of what beauty is that we think our girls are supposed to all wear that old stringy hair and weigh about 16 pounds. God help us. And my friend, hey, people are sticking their fingers and their fists down the throat. And my friend, hey, vomiting their own guts up for the sake of trying to be attractive and trying to be beautiful. And we've become so ramped up in the natural man and the latest styles and the latest fashions. And oh, wow, we've neglected this spiritual man. Oh, but bodily exercise profited little. Oh, but if we'd exercise the inward man and found help and hope in Jesus for our lives, God had put heaven back in our homes. God had put heaven back in our homes. Oh, yes, that's right. And I don't have a good voice this morning, but I feel like I'm doing some pretty decent preaching if the Lord hit me and get it out. Amen. Oh, friend, hey, we are in a day of trouble. We're in a day of trouble. We're in a day of trouble. Oh, but I'm glad still in the midst of all of this, in the midst of my friend of a hey, a generation that has embraced this modern political movement that slaughters babies and turns murderers loose on our streets again in the midst of this generation of perversities and the worship of the flesh. I'm glad still God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When nobody else can help, he can help. When nobody else is there, he's there. Can't nobody else do nothing? He can. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Well, I want to say, friend, hey, there are three Selahs in these, of this chapter of the Word of the Lord. You know that little word, Selah, S-E-L-A-H. And listen, hey, we find it in verse 3 at the end of the verse 7 and in verse 11 at the end of the verse. You know what that little word means? It's not meant actually to even be read or to be spoken. It is the same thing or something very similar to what you'd find when you start looking through a songbook and you find a rest. You don't sing a rest. You ought never to sing a rest. A rest means to stop and be quiet. And my friend, to pause, you piano players, that knows exactly what I'm talking about. And some of you singers. Now, I've sung a few rests, but it is wrong every time. Amen. You hear somebody blurt out in the choir, while everybody else are being quiet, you know what happened? They sang a rest. Amen. Oh, yes. And this little word, Selah, it's kind of like our rest. It means to stop for just a second. But not only does it mean stop or to pause, it means to stop, pause, to reflect, to consider what's just been said. You know what we do a lot of times? I looked around this morning while we was singing, I've never been sorry. Oh, I could call names and embarrass some folks. And some of you was singing, that's just singing like this. With your head down, and with your eyes maybe rolled up to the ceiling, and just mumbling the words. Just talking about all the day long, I say the story. Praise Him for His wondrous love. And yet you, my friend, your smile was turned upside down. Amen. And you look like you lost your best friend. You know what happened, don't you? We didn't see love. Amen. We didn't stop and consider what we were singing about. Three times in this one psalm, he gives us a Selah. You know what he's wanting us to do? In the middle of our busy, tumultuous, troublesome, mixed up, difficult, pressure packed, microwave pressure cooker society, to stop in the middle of all of it before we panic and hyperventilate over all the trouble that's around us, for us to Selah, for us to stop, for us to pause and reflect on this. Hey, I know there's trouble, but God is our refuge. refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Would you stop thinking all the time about your trouble and start thinking more about your help? There's help in trouble. God help us to slow down our hustle and bustle of our daily lives and pause and see for a little while. And just, my friend, stop and think about God, who's our help in our time of trouble. Oh, I want to tell you, the folks at the house of God are the people who are sane. Amen. We're in an insane world, but God's people are sane because of our present help. Amen. The world thinks we're crazy, but we're the only people that's sane. Amen. Oh, how crazy would we go if we knew we had to face all these troubles and we didn't have a present help. But we've got a very present help in trouble. Amen. God's people are sane. I want to tell you, God's people are sensible, because, my friend, we have a very present help. God's people are secure because we have a very present help. God's people are safe because we have a very present help. God's people are satisfied that God will be sufficient. He's a very present help in trouble. Now, let me preach a sermon to you. I got done with the introduction. Brother John said I preach longer in the introduction than I do the sermon. I guess that's right sometime. That'll probably be the case this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Man, it'd just about be enough just quote that and go to the house. Quote it about 50 times till you got it real good, until you seal it on it real good. Amen. Till you paused and considered it and thought about it. Amen. That's right. And that then, my friend, we could just about go home and forget everything else, couldn't we? If we just get that, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, let me give you three things. Therefore, I will not fear, for I have a refuge. I will not fear, for I have a refuge. Oh, my friend, God is our refuge and a strength. Oh, thank God. As we near the coming of the Lord, the Bible said in Luke 21 and 26, have men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens to be shaken. I'm going to tell you, men today are so afraid. They're so scared. They're so, my friend, in fear about everything that's going on around us. And yet, my friend, in verse 2 it says, therefore will not we fear. Will not fear. Why won't we fear? Because we've got a refuge. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and though the waters, my friend, thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, and there it is, a Sheba. I stop and consider this. I will not fear, for I have a refuge. Amen. I want to tell you, our refuge is there to hide us. Verse 1 said, God is our refuge. I wish I had somebody around here knew that song. God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run to. Boy, I'm glad of that, ain't you? I'm glad God is our refuge. I will not fear. Our refuge is there to hide us. It's a hiding place is what a refuge is. Now, what this word refuge means is that it is a hiding place. But it does not denote that this hiding place is permanent, but that is temporary. I mean, God ain't here just so you can run and hide all the time. But I'm glad from time to time, He does give you a hiding place. He does give you an oasis in the desert. It's not permanently, but it's temporarily. Well, what's the purpose of it? A refuge is a place where fugitives go. And they stay there until a storm passes by. And at the end, they continue in their journey. I'm going to tell you, friend, hey, that's what God is for us. That's what the church is for us. We come in here, get fueled up, fired up, and my friend, free to serve God again. And then we leave this place and go right back to work for God.
We're not here to stay hidden all the time. Matter of fact, if our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that's lost. And it's time for us to go into all the world and tell them. Amen. God's our refuge to hide us. He's our strength to help us. Just as surely, my friend, as He'll hide us for a moment or two in the refuge of the Lord, He'll give us strength. Then daily, hey, this strength does not speak of a momentary thing. The refuge is temporarily, but the strength is daily, daily, daily. He'll help us. He'll strengthen us to fight the battle. He'll help us to continue fighting so we don't always have to hide. Amen. He's our refuge to hide us, our strength to help us. He's present in our hopeless situation. Now, notice it said God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the trouble. Oh, fear, my friend, that comes upon us. And we wonder how. And yet all the while God is present with us.
You know what I found out? You know what I found out, Brother David? Most of the time, when I'm in trouble, you ain't around. Ain't that right? Most of the time when I'm having problems, Brother John ain't even available. Me and him communicate right smart. He sends me a message and I send him one. He calls me and leaves me a voicemail and I call back and leave him one. Heading to them about 10:30 that night, we finally hook up. I mean, that's usually about the way it works. By then, the trouble's gone. Amen. Oh, that's right. Hey, I found out most of the time when I've got trouble, Brother Eddie, you're not even there. But if you were there, chances are you couldn't do nothing about it. Amen. But I say, I've learned something else. He is not only our strength to help us, our refuge, my friend, to hide us, but He's present in my hopeless situation, and He's a very present help in time of trouble. When I think I'm going to give up all hope, help is on the way. He's, my friend, a very present help.
He's not just a present help. He's a very present help. Not only is He there, but that term very present means that He'll let me know He's there. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, when your heart's the heaviest and you think the whole world's caving in on you and you feel like you're all by yourself, and not only do you know He's there, but He makes it readily evident that He's there, and He makes Himself a very present help in trouble. What about that? You know what fear is? The Bible says God not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and the power of a sound mind. Amen. Christians ought not to be scaredy cats. Amen. You ought to be able to get your nerves under control somewhere or another. All that stuff's a sign of a lack of faith. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. Fear is a sign of a faithless life. That's why some of you's got drapes that go to the floor, and you close your blinds all the time and turns out the lights, and you got 6 locks on your door and an alarm system and everything. I mean, your house is more secure than Fort Knox on account of you're living in fear. If you get some faith in God, you'd cut some of that business out. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. Somebody said, how do you do it, buddy? I can raise the windows and open the doors. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't concerned for possums and rats and raccoons to come in and toting off my loaf of bread, I wouldn't mind leaving the door open all night. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not living in fear. Amen. We're living a day of more door locking than I ever seen in my life. And that's an aggravating thing to me. A low down locked door. I know people can't even park the car at their own house at night without locking their doors. My goodness alive. I know one fella's wife pulled her car into the garage and shut the garage door. The garage door's locked. The house door's locked. And
And then he leaned up against the counter in the kitchen and mashed that little button in your pocket, you know, hey, and then locked the car out in the garage. And then left her the next morning and her keys locked up in it. Amen. Wouldn't call his name, but his initials, John Gavin. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. We're living in a generation of fear. People are afraid.
You know what fear is? Fear is when you try to see God through your circumstance. And you see, all you can see is you see your circumstance, how big your trouble is, how big your problem is, and then you're trying to look through it and say, God's out there somewhere or another. And when you look at God through your circumstance, God seems about this tall, and your circumstance looks about this big. But faith is when you see your circumstance through God, and then you see God this big, and your circumstance is that small. Wow! I mean, quit telling God how big your problems are, and start telling your problems how big your God is. He's a very present help in trouble. I wish somebody would take a lap for me. I ain't got enough strength to do it. Amen. I tell you, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Oh, yes. I mean, hey, I'm glad there's a refuge for us. I will not fear, for I have a refuge. I find him a lot of times, my refuge, down at the house of God. Amen. I mean, I come in here sometime at God's house, hey, and something can be said or done that'll charge me up. I mean, sometimes I come to church with my head low and my heart breaking and my faith weak and I'm ready to run and hide. But something will be done in this sanctuary, in this place of refuge. Some song will be sung, some sermon be preached, some testimony be given, some lesson be taught. I'll leave out of here ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Amen. I mean, hey, I'm ready for anything that may come my way. Right? God is our refuge. I'll not fear, for God is my refuge. Amen. Oh, yes, you never felt that way. You never felt that way? I mean, sometimes I leave out of church and absolutely feel like Goliath going, or feel like, hey man, Samson. I feel like going out on the porch and shaking myself and saying, come on now, devil. You attacked me a while ago when I was weak and when my soul was empty and when my heart is bone dry. Where are you now? I'm ready for whatever you got. I'll not stay that away long, but now and again when I can get to the refuge, I get to feel like I can whip him for a little while. Amen. I can't outlast him, but for a little while I get the upper hand with God's help. Amen. And then when I get tired, there's a refuge again. Amen. I'll not fear, for I have a refuge. I'll not faint. Number two, I'll not faint, for I have a river. Look at what verse 4 says. There is a river. Oh, my goodness, we could stop there, couldn't we? That flows from God above. There's a fountain filled with His great love. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Amen. Oh, yes. You know what my little girl told me this morning? Grace had come in. She grabbed me. She said, Daddy, you ain't going to believe it. She said, I've got two brand new songs. And said, hey. Said, now, Daddy, they're old songs, but they're brand new. And boy, I'm telling you, I'm glad sometimes they're getting new to me. And she said, one of them is, who put the tears in the eyes of the lamb. And said, the other one is, there is a river. Said, do you know that song, Daddy? I said, yes, baby. Daddy knows them songs. More than that, I'm glad I know the river. Hey, I'm glad I know the river, thank God. Oh, yes, there's a river. The streams, notice what it said, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of thy tabernacles. And the Most High, there's a river. Oh, yes, the river represents a resource that'll never run out. I'll not faint, for I have a river, a resource that'll never run out. You may go to the bank and it be bankrupt. You may drop a bucket in the well
and it go dry. Oh, you may go to the cupboard and it be bare. But God is a resource that never runs out. Oh, I'm glad God is a very present help in trouble. Three times in this psalm, the phrase or the lesson has told us that God is with us. In verse 5, it says God is in the midst of her. In verse 7, it said the Lord of hosts is with us. In verse 11, it says the Lord of hosts is with us. I want to tell you, God is a present help in trouble. Oh, yes. Why are we turning to the world for answers when they're not even sure what all of our questions are? Isaiah 30:1 said, "Woe be the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they might add sin to sin." Amen. Well, we're living in a world where folks seem to put more stock in what Chuck Swindoll and James Dobson, amen, and old Smiley Boy, whatever his name is, Holstein out there in California, says that what they do, what the Word of God says. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, listen to me. God's Word is where you'll find answers. Why are we reading after Spock and a bunch of other crazy fellows that try to learn how to rear our children when God gave us His Word? Turn to God for answers. Psychologists and psychiatrists and other, my friend, fruitcake doctors are running head shrinking clinics are trying to solve all the problems everybody in the world. And 2/3 of folks' problems is sin. And if folks just get forgiveness of sin and, my friend, get on the blood of Jesus, most of them troubles could be solved. I know these people with literal mental chemical indifferences and imbalances, so I understand that. But most of these folks, hey, have you ever noticed that most of these head doctors is more messed up in the head than the people they're doctoring on? You ever notice that? Have you ever noticed that about half these fellows want counsel your marriage are fellows who couldn't make their own work out? You ever notice about half these financial counselors files bankruptcy about every 10 years? Isn't it amazing how they've got all the answers for you, but they're mixed up as a termite in a yo-yo themselves?
That ever amaze you? They might have sin too. See, we've gone down to Egypt, trusting the strength of Pharaoh. We've taken counsel, but now, Lord, where are you going to find counsel then? Where are you going to find counsel? Well, Psalms 1:1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Where are you going to find counsel? You better get it from the godlies. Where you better get it. And I can't think of a better source than what Isaiah 9:6 said when it called Jesus the wonderful counselor. You want counsel for your marriage and your home and your life? Turn to Jesus, and you'll find counsel. "I'll not faint, for I have a river." If you're on the mountain or if you're in the valley, He's still God. And He has a solution for your situation. Oh, yes. "I'll not faint, I have a river." It's a resource that's not going to run out. Well, 1 Kings 20:28 said, "And there came a man of God, and speaking of the king of Israel, and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is the God of the hills, but He's not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this multitude into thy hand. You shall know that I am the Lord." He said, "I want you to know that I'm not just God of the hills, and no, I'm God of the hills, and I'm God of the valleys. I'm God of the high times and the low times. I'm God in good or in bad. I tell you, He's still God. He's a present help in time of trouble." I'm closing with this. "I will not fear, for I have a refuge. I'll not faint, for I have a river. I'll not fret, for I have a revelation." I will not fret, for I have a revelation. What God's Word is our revelation. It is revealed, inspired words. I believe that. This Word is the breath of God, is what it is. It's inspired of the Lord. It's not only the Word of God, it's God's words. Amen. I believe every single word of it's right. I don't just believe the gist of it or my friend, the spirit of it. I believe all of it. We have a revelation. Look at what verse 5 said. "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her." And that
right early. Hezekiah, my friend, when God spoke to his heart after he spread out, my friend, this letter before God, and God began to work. Hezekiah went back to the house and went to sleep and slept all night. That night with faith, had God to do something with him and help him early in the morning before trouble came up against the city of Jerusalem. And God did just exactly what he revealed in his word. And I want to say he always does. We have his promise. We have the word of God. There's a revelation from God's word. And he'll keep his promise. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Amen. What's a revelation from this psalm, preacher? Look in verse 10. I'll preach till I get out of voice or get done here in a second. Look in verse 10. Here's the revelation. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The revelation from this psalm is be still and know that I'm God. You know what this term be still means? It gives us a picture. Be still gives us a picture of two fellows are trying to work on the same thing. You ever done that? That can get aggravating. Two fellows are trying to work on the same thing. That can get to be a pest. Especially if one of them fellows is me. Because I know how I want it done. If it's something I know anything about, I know how I want it done. And hey, if I want you to help me, we'll help you help me. I'm not going to help you. If you come over to help me, then you help me and not me help you. And I'm going to tell you what to do, and you need to do it my way. Isn't that right? Oh, yes. Now, don't you look at me like that. You're the same way most of you fellas are. Isn't that right? How many ever been that way? How many get, hey, you're getting working on something, building something, doing something, and you're thinking, hey, has somebody else trying to help you? And you wish they'd just take their hands off of it. Sometimes you'll say, just let go. Just let go. And let me have it. I'll get it. Just take your hands off of it. You ever been that way? Oh, yeah, you have. Amen. Let go of it. I know what I'm doing. Amen. We was out there putting up fence posts, going to try to hook up some equipment, going to the back of the tractor. Hot Dog's out there with us. And I told him, I said, push it. I said, push it. He pulled it. I said, push it! He pulled it again. I said, son, don't you know nothing? Push means go this way. Pull means coming. My Lord, son, let go of it. Let me do it. Just take your hands off of it. Near about made it fall over on me and kill me. Because when there's supposed to be a pushing, there's a pulling. Before the day was done, he knew the difference, didn't you? You got it right. I said, just take your hands off of it. Let go of it. Let me have it. I know what I'm doing. This term, be still, that's what it means. That means there's two people working on the same thing. One of them knows what they're doing and the other one don't. And the one that don't know what they're doing is trying to do something with it. And the other one's saying, just be still. Take your hands off of it. Quit. Just let go of it and let me have it. You just quit doing what you're doing. And let me do what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'll take care of the matter. Well, that ought to bless your heart. I'm telling you, hey, what we try to do, we try to get a hold of everything, fix everything, do everything. And God's revelation from this chapter is to be still, to let go of it, take our hands off of it and let God be God. Let God be manifest and work in our lives. And look what he said he'll do. He said, I'll exalt myself. If you'll let God have his way in your life and you take your hands off of it, God will be exalted and uplifted, and you'll find him to be your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You got troubles. but you got your hand on it. You got problems, but you've got your hand on it. You've got issues, but you're trying to control it. And all the while God's saying, take your hands off of it. Let go of it. Let me do it. Be still and know that I'm God. I'm done preaching. Would you come with a song? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Quit trying to resolve your own issues and let God work as He wants to work. He's our help. He's our present help. He's our now help. I believe He's going to help me. He didn't say that. He said present help. He's our now help. Amen. He's our very present help. He's our very now help. Whether it's trouble financially, spiritually, physically, marital troubles, you can get help. You don't have to worry or doubt or even fix it. Just take your hands off of it. Be still and know that He's God. Stand with us if you need to pray. I wish you'd come. Do business with the Lord this morning.
He is a fountain for a thirsty soul. He is the healer and so much more. When my heart is broken by this world's demands, the pieces are mended with one scarred hand. And when I can't stand, I have to lean. And when I can't see, I must be the hand that hung this old world in place, a hand that was scarred just to give me grace, and to think the hand that holds the stars is small enough to mend one broken heart. And when I can't stand, I have to lean. And when I can't see, is the bond.